sandals, and it's snowing.
You wore sandals today.
Yeah, I just can't. I cannot.
No sock sandals, by the way.
Yeah, no sock sandals. If you ever see me wearing socks and sandals, I give you permission to hit me. Okay, like, just slap me out of it.
I probably won't do that. Yeah.
just like, wake me up. Okay, then you can grab and shake. Like, are you okay? Because that would be time for an intervention.
Sure.
But if that's what you choose to do, you do you.
I can't
I'm just
wait.
Saying for me.
I can't wait till I reach the socks and sandals portion of my life.
Do you think you're going to be 45?
It's going to be 37, probably. I mean, we're nearing this this phase.
You better back up on that 37 comment.
It hits you quickly.
Somebody might be turning that this year.
It hits you quick.
But yeah, I refuse to put on closed-toed shoes today. I was like, I just mentally cannot do it after yesterday's amazing weather. So
wasn't it still like 38 though yesterday? I mean, it wasn't hot.
It was great.
Okay,
it was great. We were outside for a little bit. Kids were riding around. But yeah, it was chilly.
Yeah.
But so rocking the sandals today. Just mentally could not put on shoes.
All right. Well, a cloudy for a short period of time, snowy Friday afternoon. Very excited. I guess it was in the morning. Very excited for what we have over the next few hours. We'll talk about the NFL Combine, the Vols showing up there. Vols against the Gators tomorrow. Gator chomps, as you remember what happened last year when they were down in the swamp. We'll see what happens tomorrow at Thompson Bowling Arena. 656-9900 if you would like to join us as well as we begin taking a look around the sports world.
The biggest news, the main stories, the headlines that have everyone talking. It's time to take a look around the sports world.
Henry Ruggs from Alabama, 4.27 in the 40, just short of the record. And as soon as he ran, I think the TV showed 4.28, and then 4.27 ended up being the official time. And they immediately said, yeah, he's going to be disappointed with that. So, it's a different world for sure, but the 4.22 from John Ross, the record at the combine, Henry Ruggs just off that. Two Tennessee wide receivers, Marquez Callaway with a 4.55, solid number I think there, and Juwan Jennings at the 4.72. Sure, he would have liked it to have been faster. I don't think anybody's surprised that that's where his number ended up being.
Yeah, I don't think anybody thought he had any sort of burner speed. There wasn't anything. I mean, his game is you've got to watch the film on Juwan. You've got to interview Juwan and see how he plays the game. That's Juwan's skill set right there. He's probably, we were talking about it, when everything shakes out, he's going to finish in the bottom 5 or 10 of all the statistical categories that he participated in.
Yeah, with the 40 vertical and broad jumps, he was second slowest and second worst with the vertical and the 40, and then bottom 10 in the broad. I mean, that's just, he's not going to stand out in that regard.
Yeah, he's not a world-class athlete at this point in time. He is a great football player, and that's what he needs to be evaluated as. Hopefully, his numbers will not deter teams from taking a flyer on him in a late round. I never thought he was going to be a third-round draft pick. I thought he was going to be like sixth round. But I hope he gets drafted. I do want to see him get drafted and a team invest in him.
Yeah, I'm not sure where Juwan's stock is right now. He's also affected by the fact that it's a really talented, deep wide receiver class. When you look at the first round guys that will be talked about, from Jerry Jeudy, Ruggs, what he ran last night, T. Higgins, CeeDee Lamb's a guy that's going to show out from Oklahoma. But Juwan, again, a good prospect, I think. And Marquez Callaway is as well. Not a great 40 time for Dom Wood Anderson, but I'll be curious to see where he factors in at tight end. I don't know how many guys are going to get drafted from Tennessee. You have Batuli, Daryl Taylor. Nigel Warrior's not at the combine, but he's a prospect to pay attention to as well.
One other thing, going back to Ruggs, it was hard to appreciate how quickly he ran, because I just felt this overwhelming feeling in my heart about how hard it was going to be for Nick Saban to manage his roster without Jeudy and Ruggs.
I'm still not over the comments that were made in that ESPN piece, by the way.
My heart goes out to him.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens.
Thinking about you, Nick. Thinking about you.
Yeah. Man, so much lying that has gone on and will continue as well. So you have the combine that will continue to take place over the next couple of days. Now, day 5, Tennessee versus Florida tomorrow at Thompson Bowling Arena.
I can't wait to hear the Ron clip of the Gator chomping again, because he's all about it. I think if you win and you want to add a little flavor, like Emeril, bam, a little seasoning into the pot. Yeah, I had no problem with what the guys did last year. On the flip side, though, don't think they have to worry about it. Yeah. So if Florida starts gator chopping because they beat you handily tomorrow in Thompson Bowling Arena, ball fans, you just can't get mad. It just is what it is.
But if I'm on the team this year and we get a win tomorrow, I'm gator chomping.
Yeah.
No doubt about it.
100%.
Yeah.
So, either team. I mean, if the Vols win, gator chomp them into the tunnel.
I'll never forget after we discussed it last year because there was an incredible reaction both ways. In favor of it and against it. But the call that will always stand out to me was the call suggesting that this was a sign that last year's players were not locked in and would they really be ready for Arkansas, and they came out and pummeled Arkansas.
Oh, the good old days. So now we're just like, oh, are we going to get a win in the last three?
I mean, in the moment, I thought it was absurd. But now looking back and the suggestion of, I'm not sure Grant Williams and Admiral Schofield are going to be locked in. Well,
yeah,
bet you they will.
You mean Grant, who's like a budding star in the NBA right now?
They like
just
him
because
in
of his personality. I mean, he's incredible. Yeah. Yeah.
So you have that going on in the SEC coming up this weekend. Kentucky-Auburn is a big deal, Joel. Let's see what happens there. Auburn got Kentucky at home. I like Kentucky at home in this one.
I do too, and I think Auburn is capable of playing at a high level, and depending on how effective Isaac Okoro can be with him being banged up recently, Kentucky's going to have the edge. They've got a two-game cushion atop the SEC right now. Auburn's kind of trying to claw its way back into potentially claiming the number one spot, but yeah, I think the Wildcats at home, the way they've been playing the last 2 weeks especially, I think they're going to be too much for Auburn and Rupp Arena.
What is it? Is seven-game win streak that they have on the line for the Wildcats?
That's what Kentucky's at now?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Kentucky has established itself as the best team in the league.
Yes.
Is it Florida? Is it Auburn for number two? That, to me, is a good debate. LSU has fallen back for sure.
Yeah, I think everybody had them either third or fourth yesterday when we were doing our power poll ranking the top teams in the SEC, and they're trending down right now. Florida very much on the green arrow pointing up. LSU, red arrow pointing down.
Yeah, I had LSU fourth. You did as well. John had LSU fifth.
Ooh.
Yeah. I mean, you can't make a case for top three, having lost Auburn and Florida and just having been beaten up by Florida. So LSU trending in the wrong direction. See if they can make a strong bleeping run at the end. Lady Vols got the win against Ole Miss last night.
They did. Going out with a win on senior night. That was definitely something that Kelly Harper needed, that team needed. It looks like they're going to be fine for the NCAA tournament. I was talking to Mickey the other day. He says as long as they don't lose at Auburn over the weekend, they should be a single-digit seed is what he is thinking. We'll see what happens in the SEC tournament. My expectations, though, are low. Maybe a couple of wins there. But we'll see how it all shakes out.
You're fired up for Michael Turk getting back to the NFL Combine. Arizona State's Michael Turk showing out at the bench press as a punter.
This is just incredible. When you look at all the amazing athletes that are in the Combine, you're not sitting there thinking, oh, that punter, he's really going to stand out. The only punter or kicker to participate in the 225 bench press.
Yeah.
He put up 25 reps. Dude is 6'1". Actually, he's not even 6'1". He's 6'5", 226 pounds. He's basically benching his body weight 25 times. I've never been able to bench press my body weight, not even like one rep. I just think that is amazing. What was your max bench?
It's been years, but I've hit 225 in the past.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. I think I got like 130 one time.
Now I don't even know if I'm allowed literally to lift the bar right now, but we're not talking about right now, are we? Some of the NFL players you might know who Turk has beaten out. Jadeveon Clowney, heard of him?
Yes.
Frank Clark, pretty good guy up front. Same for DeMarcus Lawrence. Devin White, top linebacker prospect a year ago. Chandler Jones, one of the best pass rushers in the league. And Michael Bennett, who helped the Seattle Seahawks win a Super Bowl on the defensive line.
I think that's awesome, and I hope he plays for 15 years in the league because we were just talking about it. I would love to try and be a punter in the NFL like the Colquitts. They just keep on cashing checks.
They do. Both have Super Bowl rings as well. And then to close out the look around the sports world, there was a lot of attention on the comments made by Adam Schefter and Jeff Darlington yesterday on Get Up on ESPN. We talked about it a lot on the show. I still sense a lot of skepticism about what they said. I mean, Darlington saying I'd be stunned to see Brady leave New England, and Schefter saying it is trending in that direction, and Schefter has already said he thinks it's the least likely scenario, him returning. But still, the reaction I saw, tell me if you saw it differently, was, yeah, I don't know. I don't really believe that he's going to leave New England. I think he'll stay with the Patriots.
I think everybody has the Missouri motto when it comes to Tom Brady. I'll believe it when I see it. Show me. Show me that you're going to leave, and then I will finally believe you. Because it's just one of those things. It would be like if Star Wars made another movie and Darth Vader was just misunderstood. You know, he really wasn't a bad guy this whole time. You know, you're like, wait, no. You can't alter my whole train of thought in regards to you. Just like Derek Jeter, there were always rumors, would he go somewhere else? No, he retired a Yankee, like it should be. And I think the same is for Tom Brady.
Yeah. I've gone the other way. I've said he's leaving.
Yeah, you have.
I think Clay Travis has him with the Titans. So surprising that Clay from Nashville has him in Tennessee. But a number of the books putting out odds did have the Titans as the second most likely place, the first one being New England.
I was unaware that Clay was still commenting on sports.
From time to time. Our buddy Clay in Nashville.
Man, he loves to stir that political pot. I'm here for it, Clay.
I don't think he's afraid to comment on anything, in fact.
Yeah. I love it.
Yep. That is a look around the sports world. We take it each and every day to lead things off on Sports 180. We'll talk about Gator chomping. We'll talk about the Tennessee-Florida game tomorrow. NFL Combine results. We'll break down the shuttles coming up a little bit later in the show. With Heather Harrington and Joel Silverberg, I'm Josh Ward right here on FM 99.1, the Sports Animal. Sports 180 on this Friday afternoon. Barrett Salee, CBSSports.com at 12:30. We'll talk some college football with him. Lewis Riddick on ESPN saying right now the third quarterback selected in the 2020 draft will be Jordan Love ahead of Justin Herbert. So the top two guys are going to be Burrow and Tua Tagovailoa. And actually, Washington being talked about as a team that could consider Tua with the number two pick. But assuming he's not number one.
Yeah.
But Herbert, maybe from Oregon, could drop to four, which would mean also, I would think, a big rise for Jordan Love and how he's viewed. He's a quarterback from Utah State. You have Jake Fromm from Georgia. Jalen Hurts ran a really good number. Not a huge surprise there in the 40. So he's a player to pay attention to. Jacob Eason, a former Georgia quarterback who finished up at Washington, top five or six guy at his position as well.
Well, it sounds like if Love goes that early, that will not be to the Green Bay Packers, and that's who Colin Cowherd was really talking is hot on drafting Love this year. But I think they're obviously wanting to get him later on in the first round. So that'll be interesting to see exactly where he goes. And the budding love affair between Chase Young and the Washington Redskins, that seems really hot and heavy. I don't know if they're going to be ready to pull the plug on Dwayne Haskins after, I mean, there's only been one team that's done it, and that was with Josh Rosen, bless his heart, after just getting pummeled his first year with bad play calls, a bad offensive line, and then they just pull the plug on him. At least he got a bunch of money, so kudos to you. But I don't know if Washington is going to be that bold in trying to replace Dwayne Haskins after only one season.
Yeah, who knows? A similarity between Washington and Arizona a year ago is you have a new coach coming in. Ron Rivera this year with Washington, Cliff Kingsbury last year with Arizona.
Yeah, that's very true. That's a good point. But I still feel like, especially in Washington, the coach only has a certain percentage of say when it comes to making personnel decisions. I'm not saying that's the right way or the wrong way, but I think ownership and front office have a lot to do with saying who the personnel pieces are.
What would you do if you're Washington? Would you take Tua? Would you pull the plug on Haskins, or would you go with the defensive end, the guy who some said yesterday is the best player in the draft?
I would maybe shop the pick behind closed doors to see what you could get. You know, how bad does New England want Tua, or maybe another team? What are they willing to give up? So I would shop it behind closed doors. If you're keeping the pick, I don't ever want to be the franchise that passed on Tua Tagovailoa. I just think you would be labeled as the dummy of the world at that point.
Well, especially if things don't work out for you at quarterback, if you're still looking for somebody, if you're looking for somebody a year or two later and Tua is out there lining it up for somebody else.
You also see I remember when Mario Williams back with the Texans, he went as their first draft pick. And you were like, oh, wow, there's really only so much those defensive linemen are going to be able to do. Now, you put a stellar defensive lineman on a great team, you're going to be like unstoppable. But when you're building a team and you're trying to establish that you're a playoff contender and this and that, you've got to have quarterback locked down, offensive tackle locked down, and then go to the defensive side of the ball, I think.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And the draft is funny in that we get so deep into a conversation around the quarterback class that it's almost assumed the top guy or two will become a really good player, and that's not always the case. In this year's draft, I do like Joe Burrow, and I think Tua will be good in the NFL as well. Time will tell on that. The Williams draft was interesting in that if they hadn't gone with Williams, Mario Williams in Houston, they were going to take Reggie Bush. Like, the thought was you go Reggie Bush number one, which also would not have been a worthy number one pick. I mean, he was a good player in the NFL, had some injury issues, but now the idea, I'm going to take a running back with the number one pick.
Yeah, that you do not hear that anymore.
Yeah, so that was the conversation. Then that's the draft class with Vince Young, Jay Cutler, and Matt Leinart from USC as the quarterbacks. And Jay ended up having the best career out of that. But would you look back and say, well, they should have taken Cutler number one? Definitely not.
No. So it was just kind of a weird year, and Williams was good for a long time.
He's a really
good player. Yeah, he was really good, but the Texans, they just needed so much. If Mario Williams had have gone somewhere else that was a little more established and a little more put together, he might have won a Super Bowl. You know, if he went to a better team. But
sure,
him being stellar, it's like J.J. Watt right now. I mean, for as amazing as J.J. Watt has been, it has not gotten the Texans any closer to winning a Super Bowl.
No, that's right. That comes back to the only position that can really make that kind of impact is the quarterback.
Yes, and I'm not making a case.
Because pass rushers are important. Look at Nick Bosa, how he helped the 49ers a year ago. But he's one player as part of a defense that was really good this year. And if some will say if they don't get better at quarterback, they're still going to fall short of actually winning the Super Bowl, even though they were there, they were knocking on the door this past season.
I will say this, too. When you're looking at trying to build a team, and Nick Bosa was amazing, and that just goes to show, if they would have had a quarterback that wasn't as good as Jimmy G, say they had Carr or somebody else, I'm not trying to pick on your team. I'm just, that just came to mind first. But
Derek Carr is worse than Jimmy G.
Yeah,
fine.
He is. Then it wouldn't have mattered how amazing Nick Bosa was. He might have just been the rookie of the year and not playing on an NFC championship team. So it's so hard to judge. And I'm not making a case that you take Jordan Love over Chase Young or anybody. We're talking about Joe Burrow and Tua. Two of the best guys that you have seen play collegiate football over the last 5 years, I would argue.
Yeah, in a lot of ways, for sure. Yeah, I mean, I think they're both really good prospects. The biggest Tua question is health, not ability, I don't think. I mean, he's not incredibly tall player at the position, obviously, but look at Kyler Murray and his impact, what he's been able to do. Look at Russell Wilson, Drew Brees. I don't think that matters nearly as much. In some cases, I don't think it matters at all to some teams.
I am still a little bit of a heightist when it comes to playing quarterback in the NFL. I like that 6'3", 6'4" range because
everybody prefers it. Everybody does.
Yeah. So,
but including those guys, they would prefer to be 6'3" or 6'4", but you can't always be that way. We'll talk to Barrett Salee. We'll get some college football thoughts from him. Maybe some thoughts on NFL draft prospects for some of these guys. When we come back, we have a Midday Sports Minute for you here as well on FM 99.1, the Sports Animal. Back on Sports 180, thank you for being with us. With Heather Harrington, I'm Josh Ward. Joel Silverberg producing for us this afternoon as we're with you until 3 o'clock. And we are pleased to welcome to the show Barrett Salee, CBSSports.com. He joins us on the Stanley Fence and Gates Hotline. Barrett, I was going to welcome you in as college football and sports expert, and then I found out that you thought Johnny Manziel was going to bring the Cleveland Browns back to the promised land, and we're going to have to change that.
Yeah, that didn't work out so well. That did not work out so well. But no, I mean, it's that time of year where, you know, the underwear Olympics are going on and people have takes and you know, a lot of them work out, a lot of them don't. But I do think it's funny that a lot of these NFL guys, it's like they just started watching college football, because I saw a ton of scouts just wowed by Clyde Edwards-Helaire's ability to pack a punch. I'm like, you guys realize he was in the national championship game, and like he was a pretty big part of that team. I don't know. It's humorous to me.
Never heard of it, Barrett. Was it a national championship game? They play for that?
Yeah, and like with Joe Burrow, his hands, like, well, you can pull up YouTube and watch him throw with those very hands. He's done it before.
Right. Yeah, like he did pretty good with those little tiny hands this year. So I don't know. It is it's a dumb process. I'm a firm believer that when the NFL draft process, whatever your opinion of a player is in January is the exact same opinion you're going to have on the day of the draft. I mean, these NFL draft folks might make like five circles between now and then, but they're going to end up in the same place. And that's why I think it's more of a revenue generating industry than anything else. It's not really, a massive part of the evaluation process. It's a TV show for ratings. And you clearly see that. Because people were running 40s in their underwear last night instead of during the day.
Barrett, we were having the conversation earlier about where these quarterbacks are going to go and how many quarterbacks will be taken in the first round. Would you, as a GM, put yourself in one of the top five spots? Could you ever pass on Tua Tagovailoa?
No, not at all. If I needed a quarterback, there is no way I would pass on him behind Joe Burrow. In fact, I might pick him above Joe Burrow. But, the injury concerns are what they are for him, and they should be there. He has obviously gotten hurt at Alabama multiple times. I talked to scouts literally the day that Tua got hurt, before he got hurt. I was in the press box at Auburn for the Auburn-Georgia game. But, there were scouts that were concerned about that then, and an hour later he hurt his hip, and now they're really concerned. So, yeah, I mean, that part would be out there, but no, I would not pass on Tua Tagovailoa, especially these folks that are falling in love with Justin Herbert, especially after what he did last night. It's like, y'all, come on. There are games that happen, and you can watch them. They're available. The internet's a thing. You can stream them anytime you want. Watch them, and then come back and say that Justin Herbert's better than Tua Tagovailoa.
We're talking to Barrett Salee, CBSSports.com. Barrett, at the college level at Tennessee, there's going to be a lot of quarterback conversation this offseason. You know about how things have gone for Jarrett Garantano over the last couple of years. Now Harrison Bailey's on campus. They have Jimmy Holliday's a recruit that's on campus now as well, an early enrollee who's going to give a shot at quarterback. How would you tell Tennessee fans to approach the conversation over the next 6 months or so with Tennessee's quarterback heading into 2020?
I would say this. Jarrett Garantano is going to be the guy, and you want to hear somebody else pushing him, because I think it clicked for him at the end of last season. I could be wrong, but I think it did. And I think he'll be solid. But if you hear that one of those guys is pushing him, then to me that's a good problem. That means that culture of competition is benefiting both of them. I still think it's going to be Garantano, but if you start legitimately having a quarterback battle, I would be hesitant to believe that it's because Garantano isn't performing. I would say it's more due to one of those guys really proving that they might deserve some snaps and are ready for the big time.
One of my buddies, I don't know if he was trying to rain on my Friday as it was snowing outside earlier today, sent me something from another website about Michael Penix Jr. thought to be one of the top three returning quarterbacks in the Big Ten. And it just goes to show, man, that was a guy that really wanted to come to Tennessee. If you add that guy into the mix, we're having a totally different conversation, I think, this offseason. But how big of a step does Jarrett Garantano need to make this offseason to really solidify himself?
I don't think he's got to make a huge one, because he's shown that he can be that guy. He's shown that he can be that dude at times. So he definitely has to be more consistent. He definitely has to work well with these receivers, learn how to stretch the field, without Callaway and without Juwan Jennings. So, that's out there. But I don't think he necessarily has to make this huge jump. I just think he has to get more comfortable with new personnel around him, because his life, or anybody, any of those quarterbacks, their life's going to be easy, easier with that offensive line. I mean, especially with Cade Mays there now. You know, it's going to be one of the best offensive lines in the country. So, you know, he's just got to improve a little bit, you know, and be more consistent and get used to the new personnel. And I think they'll be fine. I just, Tennessee to me, I don't know what their upside is, but I don't think their downside is going to be what it was last year. I think they're going to be pretty much what we saw the final month of the season and not veer, you know, really that far in either direction.
Barrett Salee, CBSSports.com. Barrett, what do you think of just the latest wave of conversation around the expectation that at some point we see the one-time transfer allowance where you can go to a different school without having to sit out as an undergraduate? Thoughts on just the latest wave of chatter from coaches, administrators, and, of course, fans weighing in as well?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to happen. I think it should happen. Just a natural progression of things. And really, I kind of view it more like a market correction. You know, we sort of had this last off season. You know, we had the inconsistent waiver policy, but we had a waiver policy. So, you know, I think you're going to see it's really just more of a correction to say, all right, look, you know, we messed up. The transfer portal's a thing. You got to address it. So let's address it this way. It makes more sense. And really, it's no different than any other student. You know, if I'm at school, I went to Auburn, and if I'm, you know, a sophomore and they cut the radio, television, and film department, I'm leaving. And I'm a lifelong Auburn guy. I'm still leaving because, you know, I want to do what I want to do. I'm there to be a professional, just like football players are there to be professionals. So, you know, I think football changes so much from, you know, year one to year four, year five, year six, however long you're playing college football, they absolutely should have a chance to find the best spot for them to live out their professional dreams, because that's what college is for, no matter what you're doing in college.
Are we ever going to get to the point where you have a Power 5 football commissioner as part of the NCAA, but just legislates football?
I don't think so. I wish there would be a way for that to happen. I can't see a situation where conference commissioners cede power to somebody else. You know, it's all about power. And even though that would be a great situation, I think it would be healthier for the sport. I think it would provide structure and unity that it really does need. I just can't envision, you know, Greg Sankey saying, no, I'm good. You know, I'll let you, whoever it is, decide what goes on in this sport. You would almost have to eliminate conferences altogether. And I just don't see that happening.
Barrett, before you go, what do you see happening with Pilot Pete and the three finalists still remaining? Madison's got a big decision to make here on The Bachelor.
I like Madison. Look, I'm all for standing up for your morals and your principles. And look, that's awesome. That is 100% cool with me. But shouldn't she have done this earlier? I mean, you are basically, and you know you are, and you know you're going to be on a TV show where they send you to a fantasy suite where they expect one thing and one thing only to happen. And you wait until that week to say you're not going to, that you're a virgin and you're saving yourself for marriage. I'm for it, like, whatever. That's awesome if she wants to do that. Cool. But, I mean, I don't know why she would wait and why Peter would put up with an ultimatum like that at this point in that show.
Ooh, so who do you pick? Because Madison's been your winner this whole time.
I still think it's Madison. Okay, I think that what they did last week, yeah, it's weird, it's bizarre. I think they also gave her the Bachelor edit a little bit and made her sort of appear in a way that maybe isn't completely accurate. So I think that if she acted the way she did, that's inexcusable. I don't necessarily think it's exactly what we saw, because I think there needed to be some drama towards the end.
No, Barry, it's reality TV. They wouldn't do that. It's reality TV. So.
Never happens
they
like
edit?
That, right?
At Barrett Salee. At Barrett Salee, follow him on Twitter, read his work, CBSSports.com, CBS Sports HQ as well. I think it's Madison in the end as well. Hey, Barrett, we appreciate the time. Have a good time. I know you have some vacation coming up, and we'll talk to you again sometime soon.
All right, thanks, guys.
Berts Lee every Friday right here on Sports 180, joining us on the Stanley Fence and Gates Hotline.
Peter has been apparently, this according to Mina Kimes and Juliet Littman.
Right, you can only cite other people because you have not actually watched the show.
Yeah, I haven't watched the show, and I haven't listened to him do any interviews, but they were quoting him from several interviews that he's been doing lately to promote the upcoming finale. And he has been saying, I've known who the winner was since week four. I've known for months who the winner was going to be and blah, blah, blah. And they think it is him trying to do damage control for Madison.
Okay. So that's their theory.
That's their theory.
Wouldn't you say somebody I've known for a long time?
Yeah. Somebody said, I think one of them, it might have been Mina, thinks that it's going to be Hannah Ann.
Okay.
Yeah. But that's the only person I've heard pick her. Nobody thinks prediction. Victoria has a shot. Yeah.
Right. That'd be the ultimate upset.
Yeah. Yeah. You talk about really going over to the dark side. She was there, like Barrett said, for the fantasy suite, one option only.
Yeah. Good dinner. We'll come back with
room service.
Face Off presented by Fort Sanders Health and Fitness Center. We'll get to that coming up next with you until 3 o'clock. You'll hear before the show ends, Ron Slay talking about Gator chomping against the Florida Gators. Juwan Jennings on the second opportunity he received at Tennessee, which has helped put him in the position he's in now. All of that this afternoon on Sports 180 on FM 99.1, the Sports Animal. Back on Sports 180, thanks for being with us. We'll be with you until 3 o'clock this afternoon. We'll talk a little combine. You'll hear from Juwan Jennings, Ron Slay on celebrating. Ron with a little energy when it came to getting ready for the Florida Gators. The Gators coming to town tomorrow to take on the Vols.
I am pumped. I still have a little bit of hope left in me for one of these last three games. I think the most likely is tomorrow. I'm kind of dreading. You know how I was so excited about the last game of the season. I have tickets.
It's okay. You can still be excited.
Five straight, Josh. Losses. Bruce. It's brutal.
Yeah, he's done well against Tennessee.
He really has. Over the last couple of years, he has done very well. And I finally found out who I'm voting for.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. 2020. Sanders, 2020. We're talking about football, right?
Yeah. The Barry variety. The Detroit Lions jumping on the bandwagon. Barry Sanders for the election.
And the picture that they tweeted out with him, of course, all in red, white, and blue. GOAT. Awesome.
Mm. That's up for debate as well, but he's in the conversation for sure. So come on, Garth. Get it figured out there. Let's hit today's face-off.
You want some? Come get some.
Head-to-head. Toe-to-toe. Let's go one-on-one with today's face-off.
But to be the man, you gotta beat the man.
Presented by Fort Sanders Health and Fitness Center.
Are you ready?
Let's get this mother crock!
Alrighty, Joel, set us up here, please.
Which Tennessee football player will make the biggest leap in 2020?
Leap day coming up tomorrow, Heather. You excited? A little extra time to take advantage of?
A little bonus snow day for everybody.
There you go. I'm going to go with Eric Gray, a guy who started, I think, at the end of the 2019 season to show what he's capable of. Well, he'd shown what he's capable of, I think, earlier in the season, but definitely breaking out later. I'm going to say Eric Gray becomes a huge part of what Tennessee does offensively with those receivers being gone.
I asked you during the break, can I pick two players, one on offense, one on defense? You made it easy for me because he was on my list. I'm going to go with Quaveris Crouch on the other side of the ball. I think he is going to be an impact player on defense and look for him around the goal line. Still love that jumbo package.
Diamond Vols with a three-game series against George Washington beginning this afternoon at Lindsey Nelson Stadium. Will Tennessee's baseball team still be undefeated on Monday?
I'm going to go with they drop one in the series. Now, they have been lights out. It is incredible how many runs Tennessee is scoring, but the odds to win a three-game series sweep, I'm just going to say they drop one.
I'm going to go with Tennessee to go 3-0 this weekend.
Nice.
George Washington, solid record coming in, but one of the losses for George Washington against Marist. So no offense to them or SIUE, I believe, but I will take Tennessee to go 3-0 this weekend and to win all by at least 4 runs.
Wow, that's a bold prediction. I like it.
Kind of bold, I think, based on the results so far.
Would you like to see the Cowboys bring back Dez Bryant?
You got the Dez-Mike McCarthy connection, right? And I think McCarthy might side more with Dez on whether it was or not was not a catch. Definitely a great athletic play. No, I think it's time to move on if I'm Dallas.
Yeah, I would love to be able to throw up the X and have that. But the time, you know, time marches on. And it's been a while, Dez. And I know that you and Jerry Jones have a unique relationship like he does with a lot of wide receivers. But I think the ship has sailed for Dez Bryant being in a Cowboys uniform.
In honor of our guy Tyler Ivins never doing his laundry, how many days is too many to wear the same pants in a single week?
Full disclosure, I have now worn my new favorite pants 4 times this week to
You're
work.
You're very excited about these pants.
I love these pants. Found them on Amazon, my number one go-to. I would say as long as they're clean, wear them every day. I don't care. It is very hard for me to find pants being as tall and having as long a legs as I have. So when I find them, by golly, I'm wearing them.
Yeah, I don't think there is a limit. If you get something on them that is noticeable to people walking around, mud, a stain, you drop your pasta sauce, then it's probably time to wash them and get a different pair of pants on. But by the way, if you wash them, just run them back through the cycle. You can run them right back into the rotation. We're not going load management here.
Sounded a bit like a personal example there. Josh, who wins tomorrow, Tennessee or Florida?
So with 8 games to go, I had Tennessee going 3-5. Those wins were going to be against...
I did too.
Yeah. Pull some tape. Arkansas at home, Vandy at home, Florida at home. So my own policy says that I should stick with my pick. I'll do that. I'll say Tennessee wins tomorrow against Florida.
All right, I'm going to go the other way because every time I pick Tennessee to win, they don't. So I'm going Oppo Jinx here.
Okay.
Give me the Gators to be Gator chomping and kind of throwing a little salt in the wound.
All right, Heather gets the win. Can't touch
this. Now, confidence scale of my pick, it's down. I go 2 on a 1-10 scale.
Ooh, yeah.
Part of it is I made the pick a couple of weeks ago. Stick with the pick.
Yeah. Well, why change it now? We're not really keeping score.
It's really going to have a minimal impact on what happens. Yeah. But, when we both gave our record prediction, especially after that Arkansas game.
Oh, my gosh. Don't remind me. It was so bad.
It was not a good prediction.
February's been a rough month for my basketball picks. It's rough.
Yeah. What about January and December? Any thoughts on that one? Heather got the win there, though. Maybe it's a pity sandal open toes pick today when it's 39 degrees outside. Heather gets the win. You're a winner, though. You can go inside. You'll be plenty warm there at Fort Sanders Health and Fitness Center. Owen has swim lessons tomorrow. They have group fitness classes that are always going on. They always have the schedule posted for you. And that's a huge part of your membership. It comes included with all the different more than 130 group fitness classes available. Plus, of course, the equipment, the tennis courts, tennis courts inside and out. Keep going there at Fort Sanders Health and Fitness Center.
It's so much more than just joining a gym. You are joining a 5-star health club complete with a day spa, awesome locker room. They've got a steam shower and a steam room in the men's locker room. They've got a sauna in the women's locker room. I mean, there are just so many amenities when you're talking about joining Fort Sanders Health and Fitness Center. You're going to start crushing your goals. You can even start with the health assessment, figure out where you are, and then work towards getting better. Whether it's losing inches, whether it's gaining muscle, they can help you with their one-on-one private training, the over 130 group classes that they have every single week, or you just go out on the weight floor or the cardio floor and do your own thing. You're going to love joining Fort Sanders Health and Fitness Center. No long-term contracts, under $125 a month for the family membership that comes with that access to free childcare.
At Fort Sanders Health and Fitness Center, go by, check it out, take advantage of a 7-day trial membership, and when you sign up, mention Sports 180 with Josh and Heather. Get $20 off enrollment.
Have you done a body pump class lately? I know you might not be back cleared.
Yeah, I'm still okay, still slow playing. Back. I've gotten some workouts in, but at my own pace.
Yeah. Just beware on Tuesdays when it says body pump, there's also a cardio step. It's a hybrid class. I'm really coordinated on the body pump part. Not so coordinated on the cardio step, but I get my
work. Fall down?
No, thank goodness. But I kind of look silly doing it.
Okay.
So people can laugh. It's all good. I still keep my heart rate up. I check it.
Yeah. Well, they probably just laugh behind your back. We'll come back. 2 hours of sports, 180 to go, 6569900. We both chose 2019 class members, by the way, for the Tennessee Vols that will make a leap in 2020. Who do you think might make a leap this upcoming year for Tennessee football? We will hear and read some of your answers coming up. A lot to discuss over the next 2 hours on FM 99.1, the Sports Animal.